I couldn't understand when I first came here that people thought they were the body. I thought, they don't know they're a soul in a body. And the body is just like a car or something that you use for your surroundings. It's not what you are. But most people didn't know that. And I was surprised. And I was only a child. And I wasn't allowed to ask people questions like that because I was a child, and in your society, we have a certain place, you know, as a child. And we're not allowed to speak out very much about how we feel or what we think. It's not allowed. And it was very difficult for me. When I lived on Venus, we live in society that is very harmonious and very beautiful. And the whole planet, the people, have one understanding and concept of the Creator, and that their soul, we're aware of this in the time we're born. So it's totally different. And we manifest things that we need and use just from our thoughts, from the energy around us. And we don't eat, we absorb energy to exist. So I had to come to Earth and learn that this body has functions, you have to eat, you have to sleep. I had to learn so much, and I couldn't realize how difficult the human body is to take care of. It really is difficult when you think about it. We're going to talk a little more about my life. When I first came to Earth, it was very difficult for me at first, because I didn't know what people expected of children here. I had to learn that. They told me the basics about the family and about children, about school, and I learned all that stuff. But I had to learn how children fit into your society. And I was a very quiet child for a long time. And naturally, I'm an outgoing and lively person, but I had to observe a lot of things. Because sometimes, if someone wanted something, I could sense it, you know, with my telepathy, and then I would say where it was, and they would look at me like I was crazy. And I would say, oh, I can't do that. And then I had to watch the other children, how they behaved. I had to be very observant to fit in, so I wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't think I was crazy or a strange little child, and I'd be isolated somewhere. So it was very hard to fit in. And Sheila's family was difficult enough because her mother was the black sheep of the family. She was the youngest daughter, and she was the prettiest, the blonde, and the really bubbly, beautiful one. And the other children in the family were more dark-haired, and so she kind of didn't blend into her own family. And they all tried to protect and take care of her, but she always got into trouble. She was a mother. She was married at 14 and had Sheila at 15. That's really young. And because at that time, the grandmother had 11 children, and she went to the neighbor, who she knew very well, and told her son, you can choose one of my daughters for your wife. And he took the youngest and the prettiest. And she didn't know anything. She's 14. She still played with dolls. And when she went home with him on the wedding night, she ran away because she didn't know what he was expecting from her. And she went to her mother. And then her mother told her what she was supposed to be expected to do then, you know, it was a little bit late. So it was kind of traumatic for the mother. And eventually she went back to her husband, and they had a child. Apparently she did what she had to learn, but it must have been difficult for someone that age. And at that time, there wasn't much education or communication in families to teach children about things like this. And they just were put in a situation they had to deal with it. And it was pretty hard, I suppose. So her mother was a special person. But when I went to Tennessee, and I was at the grandmother's house, all of the brothers and sisters gathered in the mother's living room to decide what they were going to do with me, because I was the youngest daughter's child, and they said, we can't expect you, the grandmother, to take care of this child. And the grandmother said, well, of course I will, it's my grandbaby. And they said, no, put her in a home, put her in an orphanage or do something with her. And my cousins were laughing, oh, they're going to put you in a home for kids. And they were thinking it was funny, and I was like terrified. I was like, oh my God, am I going to be in some kind of a big building with lots of children? I won't know what to do. And I was really frightened. And my grandmother said, no, I'm going to take care of her and raise her. And one of my uncles said, it's fine, and I will help you, Mom. I'll make sure that we get everything you need from the government to take care of the child, and we will support you. And so I got to stay with my grandmother, and I was very happy about that. Because she was the only other person I knew on earth when I first came here, except for a cab driver that brought me to her house. So it was kind of strange for me. I'm on a whole new planet with a bunch of strange people, and then they're going to toss me in a home somewhere. And no, I didn't like that. But my grandmother was the most wonderful lady, and her grandparents came from Norway. And she told me that she was very proud of that. They were named Orange, and they came from Norway. And I thought, I'd never seen Norway, so I was excited about coming this time. I wanted to see where these people came from, because they're part of my heritage on Earth. And in order for me to take Sheila's place, I'll explain to you that my soul, because I didn't have a physical body at the time, accompanied Sheila during her birth process. And I received the same genetic imprint like a twin would do. So I received that in order for everything to be proper spiritually. You know, the spiritual masters okayed all of this, but they had to go through this process in order, when I manifested a body, I would be identical to Sheila and live with her family, and I would have an earth body like Sheila had. So that's how the process was created. Before Sheila was born, I accompanied her in the birth process, received a genetic imprint from her, and then when I manifested the body, I had the body of Sheila, or her twin. So that's how I came into your society. I know it's complicated, but I had to have the spiritual okay from the brotherhood and the masters before I could ever do this, because otherwise it was against spiritual laws. And we have to obey spiritual laws. At least the Venusians know that. Everything they do it within a certain boundaries, because that's what they're taught and it's what they believe. They know it's right. And we don't want to break any laws or invade any private principles of people. And Venusian lay is that we abide by the laws of God, not the laws of man. But we abide by the society's laws, and we're in that society, of course. But deep in our soul, our greatest tribute is to the Creator that created us. That's how we look at it. We have a little dog running around outside, which I love animals, but okay. Animals and people, it was Hans asked me this afternoon, and I explained to him, yes, animals, minerals, plants have a soul just like human beings. And I'll explain that to you. Our concept of God and the Creator and our souls, I'll explain a little concept. The concept is we're in the physical realm, and God exists in the realm where it's pure energy, and wherever it's the source of creation, where all the energy exists that created everything that is. And if you take a centrifuge, something that spins material at a high rate, and you throw in rocks and sand and water, and it spins, and the rocks will go to the outer edge, then you have sand, and then the water, and in the middle are just be pure energy. This would be where God exists. And the outer edge where the rocks is the physical where we are. And to explain it to you, I'll try. The Creator is a great source of energy. And it existed, and it was sitting there thinking, wow, I am so powerful, so wonderful, what can I do with all this power and energy I have? I have to do something wonderful. So the Creator thought, well, I'll create wonderful galaxies, universes, and systems in different dimensions of energy that exists in different life forms. And everything I create will recreate from itself in non-ending cycles. And therefore, I will never cease to exist. I will exist for eternity through my creation. That was the whole point. And it was all done out of love. So the basis of our creation is love. Love is the most powerful energy that exists. It overcomes anything and everything. It's endless. It knows no boundaries. And the more you love, the more you receive. This energy is flowing constantly. And it's free. You can give it freely. There's nothing wrong with love. Love is the most powerful energy there is. And it's the most healing. It's the most beautiful. That's what we were created out of. And that's what soul is. And so when soul was created by, from this energy, which is the Creator, soul didn't know that it existed. It was, but it had no idea that it was because it had no experience. And so this little spark, this little piece of energy, God said, I have to send you down through the different dimensions to the physical realm, and so that you can gather experience and learn what you are. That's the whole purpose of our existence. And so we're created in the God world. Then we go over the soul dimension. And then we go into the first dimension, which is called the etheric. And that is the dimension where God first divided the energy into negative and positive polarity. And when we come into this dimension, then the soul has to gather energy from this dimension to protect the soul, because the soul can't exist in the lower dimension without protection. So it gathers an energy body called the etheric body that's around the soul. And this energy also that the soul collects gives the soul the ability to understand that it is part of the Creator. It's the divine energy that flows on the etheric. And so the soul now knows it's part of the Creator, even though it is a separate individual entity forever. And then it goes into the next dimension, the etheric. Then it goes into the causal dimension. In the causal dimension, it collects the energy and the soul, energy body, a causal body. And this energy from this dimension gives the soul the ability to remember all of its existences that it ever had. And it's called the dimension for the Akashic Records also. But actually, they're carried within the soul itself. and then makes the mention that the soul goes into on this journey downward is the mental dimension, and here it gathers energy of body, the mental body, and this energy from this level gives the soul the ability to think, and with this thinking process, create. You know, have the imaginary creation powers. And so then it travels to the next dimension, which is the astral dimension, and there it collects an energy body, and the energy from this level gives the soul the ability to feel and have emotions. And then the last trip it makes is, boom, it's in the physical. But when you come to the physical, it collects energy, of course, in a body from this dimension. But when soul first entered, it came in the mineral form, as a stone or a crystal or a mineral in water, whatever. In the mineral state, that's the first evolutionary stage for the soul in the physical. It to go through the mineral and serve a purpose, and then it leaves for a short time and chooses another body, and it does this until it's experienced every form of mineral possible in the physical realm, in every galaxy, on every planet, believe it or not. You go through this as soul in the mineral state, and then when you serve a purpose as the mineral, and you finish the whole mineral realm, there's no more minerals you can be. Then you're ready for the next step, which is the plant. And then you go through the whole thing again as a plant, in every possible form, vegetables, trees, beautiful flowers, weeds, every plant possible. Every planet and every galaxy. I mean, it staggers the imagination to realize how long a soul can exist. But we have eternity. We're forever. We don't never die. We just change energy forms of existence and have different experiences. But we live forever. We exist forever. And then you go through this whole thing with the plant, and then finally an animal, and go through the animal stage, and there's many animals, fish, think about insects, things that you never can imagine that you have been before you ever become a person. The person is the last step in the physical realm. And then it becomes complicated because you form relationships with others, and attachments and complications arise. And of course you live on different planets and different solar systems, and you've lived for millions of years. You were here on Earth many times and many places, and you've existed forever because you have to experience everything possible. That means being a murderer, being murdered, being a warrior, being the most brilliant person, being a pianist, being talented, being beautiful, being rich, being everything. You just have to think about it. My goodness. And the reason you cannot think of these horrible experiences today is because they're behind you. You don't need them anymore. You've had those experiences, you don't need them, you don't want them, you have no feeling for them anymore. And you are here because you are now a higher consciousness and more aware, or your soul wouldn't have brought you here tonight to learn this information. It's information that you knew, but this brain and this new body has forgotten. So I'm just refreshing stuff that you already know as soul. It's nothing new for you. It's just information. Now that your mind has got it, it won't forget. It's got to hold on to this information. It's important. Every soul should know this stuff. It's basic teachings for us Venusians. And for human beings, it's very important. And that's what I'm trying to teach. I'm doing my best. I had workshop for years, and I sat all day with groups of people through whole weekends, day after day, because it took a lot of time to break down old concepts and build new understanding and truths for these people, and change their perception and abilities of understanding. Once you understand how wonderful and great you are, and how old you are as a soul, you have a different feeling about life, about each other, about plants, animals, because you realize you were these things, and you have more compassion and love for everything. That is why it changes your view. And as people, we need minerals, plants, and animals to sustain our bodies for our existence. And we only have to be thankful and grateful. We can't fight over, is it right to eat meat or vegetables? It's all right to eat everything because it's all there for us. And the fact is, it's serving a purpose through us. And it can go on its evolutionary, you know, path to being a person through our eating it and being thankful. Eating and partaking of all these things that serve a purpose for us. And all we have to do is be grateful. It don't matter. You can eat vegetarian, you can eat whatever you want. It's a choice. Actually, you have a choice, but it's not right or wrong. Everything is not right or wrong. It's ugly, it's terrible sometimes, things that people do to each other. It's all out of not knowing and not understanding and not having right information. People harm each other, but they need these experiences. It's their level of consciousness at that time. And that's why they're there, because they're learning. And you have to learn through experience. And as horrible as it may seem, in the soul's point of view, everything is a valid experience and valuable. It's not bad or good. It's our brain. The concepts are fed to us by our society. This is good, this is bad. And you judge and criticize when you should love and accept and say everything is all right. The only thing that's wrong is just your point of view. And that's all right too, because we all have different points of view, but it's all right. Everybody's correct in how they see things, because it can't see it exactly the same way. And I don't expect you to, but there's no reason to have a war over it. We have to agree to disagree. And the world should be a better place when you learn to live by those kind of concepts. And that's the concepts that God wants us to live by. To enjoy life and to live life and be happy. And whatever God gives you, enjoy it. But don't go to an extreme with anything, because then you're not balanced. When you're an extremist in any way, you're not balanced and you're not going to be happy and your body's not going to be functioning very well. Because if you're extreme about sex, about food, about drinking, about smoking or drugs or anything, it's not healthy. And I don't recommend drugs, chemical drugs, because you don't know how they're going to affect the physical body. And I can say that having a cigarette or having a glass of wine or a beer or something like that, it's quite all right. And it's not going to hurt anybody, unless that you abuse it or hurt somebody when you abuse it. When you abuse it, you might abuse someone or yourself, and that's not good. But the act itself is not incorrect or wrong. It's only concepts created by people in society. Make taboos, this is not good, this is not... It's not acceptable because they don't like it or they don't think it's good. And they just make up all this stuff. And in reality, it's not going to hurt you. If you want to, you should. And you shouldn't worry about how you look, if you look spiritual, because, you know, this is earth. We're not in heaven. And the fact is, you can't enjoy these things in the other dimensions. And when you get so spiritual and so holy, that's where you'll be. You'll be in the upper dimensions, not on earth. You just be the best human being you can and create love around you and love everybody and be good to each other. And there's no problem. But there's a problem when you judge and criticize and hurt each other, make people feel lowly or not, I'm not beautiful as you are, or I'm not as rich as you are, or I drink too much and he smokes too much, whatever. It's their business what they do. I say, let them be, let them be happy. And don't judge, don't criticize, accept, love, and say, hey, it's okay, you do what you want to do. As long as you're not hurting me, I don't care. It's not my money. I don't buy your cigarettes or your wine or whatever. But still, just let people enjoy their life and be happy. And when this life is finished, it's not finished. You will still exist in a different energy, a different form, but your soul will still exist. This body will be behind you because you don't need it anymore. And that's just the way life is. And I really enjoy talking to you, and I appreciate you listening, and I hope I gave you a mini seminar here. It was just to give you an idea of how we see soul and being a human being to help you understand more. And I hope I did. And I guess that's it for tonight. Except for signing books. And so we're taking a break for 10 minutes.
Yes. I have a question about more Earth-related. I sort of feel that there's a concerted effort on Earth now for certain, you know, dark powers, really, tightening the grip on many different areas. For instance, all the warings going on, all the wars going on.
Yeah.
All this radiation going on.
That's part of the transformation.
That's part of the transformation.
The transformation is in process, and the dark and the controlling forces have to fall. They're not going to have control anymore, and they're fighting back with all their strength.
Yeah, so I sense this sort of desperation going
on. Exactly. And things are going to get worse before they get better.
So they're going to get even worse.
It's like when you have an infection, all the poison has to come out before it can be healed.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little traumatic, and when the money system starts to collapse, there's going to be many suicides due to people thinking that everything they have or are is the money or the technology or whatever, and it's all going to collapse, and all new kind of systems will be created for people. The Brotherhood will come to the earth and help people during the transformation process. The awareness will change. The vibrations are changing. It's all in the process that's going on, and it's in my DVD. It's all explained in there, what you'll feel, how you'll tell the changes are happening by observing, and like you're doing, obviously you're observing.
Yeah, so actually, this technology, this radiation, mobile phones and Wi-Fi, is actually used against us somehow.
Of course.
We consider it as being, you know, beneficial for us.
Yeah.
We're available.
It
but
is.
It's really used against us.
It's both ways, yeah. At the same time, it sucks you in, and it uses your energy. So if you rely too much on it, then that's the problem. It's not balanced right now. Everybody's so involved in the technical things that they don't notice the world around them hardly. But that's just part of the process. It'll fall to the wayside eventually because it won't function anymore. Yes?
About UFOs. Do different colors mean anything on different UFOs? For instance, I have close experience to a purple UFO. Does it mean anything?
Actually, I don't think so. Is it a round UFO or a triangle or what?
A couple of times I've seen the triangle, but the close contact was very one big blinking bright purple.
Really?
Very close.
Well, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. I think from what I've read, that Beta Reticulum uses this color a lot in their in their energy system. Beta Reticulum. It's a system.
Oh.
They use this a lot in there. There's different colors, and I don't know exactly what they mean, but they're related to a particular race of beings.
What did you call it? The system?
You said it's a particular?
Yeah.
System. Okay.
Yeah?
When a person dies, what determines where the soul comes after the death? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it the mind, what the state mind is just before the person dies, or is it what level?
It depends on circumstances that the soul is in, if it's traumatic, or if it's a natural death or whatever. You will usually go to the astral level and be greeted by relatives who passed on or died before you, and they will help you get used to being without a body, and they will place you in a certain area that you should be according to your consciousness and your awareness. And then you will have an overview of your past, your life on Earth, the last life, and see what you learned, and then you'll choose where you go next and what you decide to experience. You have a little resting time on the astral first before you enter into the physical again.
But can the soul see anything on Earth, or what?
The soul can have an overview of its whole life, and everything is like little grains of sand. Doesn't mean nothing to the soul. One lifetime is nothing. It's only when you enter into that life that it becomes so great. And then you forget that you chose to experience what you chose. In your new body, in new mind, you don't remember that you chose to be where you are. Yeah.
Do you still, I read some master, they travel like each night with his wife to the astral plane.
Mm-hmm.
And there you can meet like whoever you want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The soul is free to leave the physical body when the body is resting. And you sometimes think you're having dreams and you're actually experiencing other dimensions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite often. It's quite common.
And all these other planets of the solar system, are other people living there?
Sometimes. There's some that are inhabited, some are not physical entities, they're astral entities. And there's some that are occupied by physical beings. It's all relative. Yeah? Yeah?
How does it feel to be on the astral level?
You feel just like you feel in this realm, except everything, you know, you can manifest and create what you wish by your thoughts, so it's a little different. But your surroundings are as real, it's relative to where you are, where the soul exists. That reality is as real as this reality. Every dimension has a certain energy, and you relate to that energy just like you do your surroundings here. Except everything behaves in a different way.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Are you familiar with ancient Kemet?
No.
No? But do you know, like, much of the history of the Earth?
What?
Do you know? I mean, how much of the history of the Earth do you know?
The history?
Yeah.
I've written down the unknown history, which is an account of the Earth after it was first created and the civilizations on the Earth, mm-hmm. and what happened and why the people are as they exist today. All that is knowledge I was taught on Venus before I came to Earth, because we existed before Earth.
It's on the DVD. And the short version you can download for free on the internet. There's on the internet a part text from unpublished text from Omnic or so. And this, there are four texts, and one is the unknown history of the solar system, the short version. The long version is on the DVD lecture. And there is a true story of Christ, and there is meeting a wooden gnome. This is when Omnic met a little nature spirit. And the Venusian script of these four texts are online on the homepage for free.
Thank you, Anya. Do you know anything about the unknown civilization that has left off the huge pyramids in the Visoko Valley in Bosnia?
No, but I know of them. I've heard of them. There's pyramids all over the earth, and they were built for different purposes. And they're finding more and more all the time. They serve different purposes. Some of them have different energy for different aspects of spirituality or learning or going to other dimensions.
They were built by extraterrestrial people?
Yeah.
The pyramids?
Yeah, I think so. Or else they were guided by extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
People built them under the guidance.
Yeah.
Nikola
Tesla, the inventor genius, he came from Venus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
System. They're human beings.
Okay.
The Flavians, they have seven planets in our system.
Yeah.
They are on Mars, Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn, which is the four planets that originally came to the system from far away and brought human life and now colonized the Earth, and it's the forefathers of the Earth. They have, each of them have a city that is on the physical, but not, you can't observe it or find it, and it serves the purpose for them to lower that vibration and manifest the physical body. So they live in cities on this, on each of those planets.
And just like us with other DNA, or same DNA,
of course it's a little different.
Yeah, it's...
Because human beings were manipulated.
Yeah.
And their brain was divided. It's all in my, it's written in my books and stuff. And the people from other planets have other abilities that the human beings lost. And the transformation will return these abilities to people. That's the whole purpose of the process.
Mm-hmm.
It's so that you can regenerate and reclaim all of the abilities that the original human beings had when they first began on Earth.
Do you know anything about the time span? Are we talking about hundreds or thousands of years?
No, it depends on the people on Earth. How many people are aware of the transformation, how many participate in focusing their energy to make it go faster. It's up to you. Yeah.
Do you have some ideas on how we can review global warming on Earth?
I think that's propaganda.
I believe that it's a natural climatic cycle that the earth is going through, like it always has, and these people use that to put fear in human beings and to control you. I mean, that's my opinion.
I heard that the 4% of the population of the earth is having this awareness that will transform the earth when they are working. The whole system will collapse. Is that true? Or?
Well, the whole thing is to see the process of time. But the process is intended to protect all of the life forms on earth. The human beings, there are so many different races of human beings that were brought here by your ancestors and forefathers from the other planets. And all the minerals, plants, and animals were brought here from other galaxies. And our Earth was created. These life forms work in harmony to create a beautiful and balanced environment on Earth. And that's why we're having the transformation, is to protect this and not allow man to destroy the earth in their ignorance, and not to allow any kind of natural disasters to occur, so the earth is protected. So the transformation process is a protection for the earth, so it can go into a higher dimension, and the people on earth will learn through a different process rather than birth and karma and repetitiveness. Yeah.
Is it necessary for us to protect ourselves in our daily life?
Of course, you know, we all have spiritual guides and protectors for our individual selves. Mm-hmm. And we just have to ask for protection.
Okay.
So that our lives are balanced, and send this love and this balance to our family members and people that we love. We share this. Mm-hmm. It's important to do this. It's good.
Pray for protection.
Yeah, exactly. And ask your higher beings to protect you and your families. Mm-hmm. And send them blessings every night. Just visualize them and call this energy and say, I want to send and share this energy for all the people I love.
But what if people try to harm? How to react when people try to harm?
Well, you shouldn't have fear. Fear is bad.
Okay.
Fear is something, it's a negative force, and there's nothing to be afraid of. You can only be hurt or die. The worst thing that can happen is you can die. But then that's not the end. You transform into a higher energy. It's like a graduation.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't be afraid of anything. Because however you're supposed to die will happen. And there's nothing you can do to protect yourself. Because it's already destined.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your soul. Oh, do you have anything, you know, how old it can be?
No.
No?
It's like telling you how old God is. I can't.
Is it just one? Is it forever?
It is eternal, and it is forever. So you are eternal, just your physical body is not. Yeah?
Yeah, and the concept of karma, is this the same on other planets, and do they be reborn like here, and is this something that will change after the transformation?
Well, that's the whole purpose. The transformation process eliminated karma, so it's all finished. There is no karma except whatever you create at this moment. So you have to be clear with people and determine how you feel and what you expect and what you wish to experience. If something is happening and it disturbs you, you have to state to them, I don't care for this kind of energy or conversation, whatever it is, and excuse yourself. So it's all clear and there's no hard feelings, you're not creating any karma.
Mm-hmm. But is it the same on the planets?
It was. but not, no, Earth was the only planet where that people come to be reborn and serve karmic debts and all that. That was the whole purpose of Earth.
So after the transformation,
it's going to serve a new purpose. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we will not have to be born. We will manifest the body. And we will choose how we manifest. And the male and female will not be necessary. So that you can have both male and female energies in one body, balanced. It'll be totally different. Yeah.
In your point of view, are there any entities coming from other realms that we should be aware of? In other words, do you think there are entities coming that's trying to manipulate this beautiful process that is coming?
Oh, they can't.
No, that's so you don't think they will try?
No, but they do try. They try to enter through individuals who channel and who call these energies and allow themselves to be vessels for them. So you have to be protective of your own self. Yeah.
You mentioned destiny. How much of the free will would you say can decide the destiny? Is free will strong?
Your whole existence is based on free will.
Yeah.
Everything is a choice. Whether you're sick or you're crippled, or you got cancer, everything is something you chose to experience.
That means that one can choose the consequences, your life and the consequences.
You do, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You are where you are because you chose to be. You don't remember, but your soul chose to come in this life and experience and be where you are. And it brought you here to receive information. So you're on your way. That's good. Yeah. Anybody else?
Yeah. I sense these as being very pivotal times. This one lifetime that I have, for instance, and I guess I just wonder if is it now it's going to happen, this big change?
It is, right?
Yeah, because I feel it's actually now the desperation that I talked about is really mounting up.
That's the transformation. We're in the process. We were born at this time, and you're experiencing.
Yeah.
And you're lucky that you're aware of it. That's the best thing. Because it's worse when what's happening and you know something bad is happening. But if you know the reason why, it makes it a lot easier. And you can help others who panic at this time to be aware that it's just a process. We're going through it quite natural. It's actually good.
But it's frustrating as well.
Yeah.
Because you feel so many are holding back. They're striving to hold back from the old energies, the dark energies.
Well, because they're very involved in them. And they won't release them. And the fact is they'll have to die and come back with a new brain that can accept the transformation. There'll be many who won't survive it because they cannot change their way. They can't let go.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, you said that a lot of things have souls, like minerals, plants, mm-hmm. human beings, and such things. And my question is, the Earth as an entity mm-hmm. and the other planets, do they have souls?
Of course. Through everything that exists on it, they serve a purpose and they have an intention, and God created the earth.